Today's shiur, the Daf Yomi, is Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Chav Beis. We're going to begin 6 lines from the top with a continuation of a discussion we had yesterday, the machlokas between Rava and Rav Ilah, as to how to understand our Mishnah. We're learning today, Lili Nishmas, Hyman Egelfeld, Chaim Yisrael ben Yosef ben Achim, and also Lili Nishmas, Yisrael ben Shmuel Halevi. This is a different David Siegel's father. There we have two David Siegels, at least two, that I know that are listening to the shir. He's a relatively new listener to the shir, and we're learning Lili Nishmas's father. So we begin today's shir reminding ourselves of the machlokas yesterday between Rava and Rabbi Law. Remember, we had 10 or 11 items mentioned in the Mishnah where Kodesh is considered stricter than Truma. And Rabbi Law had learned that the first and sixth cases or scenarios that the Mishnah had listed were both chatzitza. The first one being the kli betot kli, and the sixth one was a garment that had ties in it and knots in it, and they had to untie them and dry them before you could total them. So these were only required stringencies by Kodesh and not by Truma. He had them both listed as chatzitza, whereas Rava had listed them as two separate ones, therefore he had a total of 11. He said that the first one, kli betot kli, was a gzera because we may end up immersing something in a utensil that has an opening less than the size of a shofaris hanod, the 2 finger breaths, and therefore that was a separate din than the chatzitza scenario of case number 6 with the garment and the knotted clothing, the knotted ties. So, based upon that, Gemara now begins, Chof Beis of an Aleph, 6 lines from the top, Ma'ika bein Rava, del Rebbe Ilah. What's the difference between that which Rava says? There are really 11 separate cases here, and Rabbi Ilah, who says that there are really only 10 separate cases. So Gemara says, Ika Be'nayu, the difference would be, Sal, a basket, Vergagusti is a larger basket that's used really as a strainer to go and strain the grapes when you put them in to the holding area, so they are strained before they go down there to pick up the dregs. So in that situation, for this sal or gagusti, shemilon kalim, that you are going to fill them up with kalim and then immerse both of them, the sal and the gagusti, sal or gagusti, and have kalim inside of them, and you're going to fill them up, and then you're going to immerse them, hitbila. So according to Rabbi Law, who says that the reason you can't do a kli besoch kli was because of a chatzitza, mishum chatzitza ikah. There is a chatzitza over here as well in the sal of the gagusti. However, according to Rava, l'man d'yomar mishum gzera, the whole thing was a gzera. Kli besoch kli is a gzera, so you may come to go and immerse something in a kli that has smaller than a shofaris hanod opening to it, and that wouldn't be considered a valid immersion. Mishum gzera shemiyat bil mechotin v'tzinorios, that you may come and put these small needles and small little forks inside a kli she'en befiv shofaris hanod that isn't wide enough. So then, with the sal or gargusti, with those different types of larger baskets or containers, like wicker baskets, she'ain bifiyam kishofaris hanod, they never have, under no circumstances, you're ever going to have a sal or gargusti that has an opening that's less than the shofaris hanod. So then, leko, then there is no reason to say that you wouldn't be allowed to go and fill them up and immerse kalim inside the sal and the gargusti. Rabbi would say it's not a problem, but Rabbi Law would say it is a problem. And this is consistent. The Oz the Rava the Taime. And this is consistent with what Rava said. What did Rava say? The Amar Rava, Salviga Gusni, you have these baskets, these large baskets and even larger baskets, Shemilon Kalim Vitvilon, and you fill them up with Kalim, and then you immerse them to Ovid. Rava says that they're good, like we just said. And furthermore, based upon this, or mikvah, if you have a mikvah that has 40 saw in it, or more, a little bit more than 40 saw, let's say, and you put in one of these sal or gagustis, and it fills up half the mikvah, so you now have a left side to the sal and the gagusti, the right side to the sal or the gagusti. So mikvah shechilku b'sal or gagusti, so the water technically can get through from one side to the other because these are porous containers. They have, it's like a wicker container, and the water can easily get through from one side to the other. But halachically, it's considered now that you have 2 separate mikvahs. It's like a machitza down the middle, and you have a mikvah on the left that has 20 saw, a mikvah on the right that has 20 saw. Neither one is a kosher mikvah. So according to Rava, hatovu shom lo also lo tvila, he says that it would not satisfy the immersion, it's in a 40 saw mikvah, if you have the sal and gagusti separating the left side of the mikvah from the right side of the mikvah. Because ground, let's say you had a couple of puddles and you were going to combine all of them, they'd have 40 saw. And they're connected underneath through the ground. There's no direct connection between one to the other, but they're all connected through the ground. So we say even though the ground is able to go and have the water theoretically be connected from one pool to the other pool, and you could theoretically add them all up and have 40 saw, the bottom line is we don't say that. We require that there be 40 saw in one specific place. And here, with the ground, we say, no, that's 10 saw there, that's 10 saw there, that's 10 saw there, that's 10 saw there. And albeit they're connected underneath through the dirt, that's not considered a valid connection. So too, the salu, the gagusni, that are separating the left side of the mikvah and the right side of the mikvah, we consider them two separate entities now, two 20 saw mikvahs that aren't connected because it's not the size of Shofaris Hanon. The salu, the gagusni don't have such big openings, the little wicker openings aren't the size of Shveris HaNod, and therefore we can't connect the left-sided mikvah to the right-sided mikvah that you now created. 220-saw mikvahs don't add up to be 140-saw unless they're physically connected with something that is the size of Shveris HaNod. So this is consistent. The Sal and Gagusni is consistent with what Robert said before, that the concern is not with the Chatzitza, the concern is with the fact that the Sal and Gagusni never have small openings to inside the solid gagusni, albeit the bottom, that is obviously a wicker, and that's going to have small openings. So it does make a machitza in the mikvah. That's consistent with what the Rava said. However, Vahani Mili, that which we said that the solid gagusni, according to Rava, would be machalik, the mikvah, into two separate non-kosher mikvahs, that's if you're dealing with the sal and the gagusni, b'chli tahar, if they're tahar. So therefore, they don't themselves require a tefillah, and that's why there can be a separation. However, Abu B'chli Tomei, if the Sal or the Gagusni itself were actually Tomei, so when you're putting in the mikvah, they actually require the tefillah, so then, since they're good for the tefillah themselves, so they can connect then the left side and the right side, and it doesn't make a chalukah between them. Migu the Salko tefillah l'kulei gufei demana Salkalu nami l'kelim de'isbei. So in this situation, since it works for itself, it also works for any kelim that you put inside of it, so the kelim inside of it would also be good. And we see this from the following Mishnah. This, the Besor Shasas tells us, is a Mishnah in Mikvos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. However, it's not really quoted exactly, and this may actually be a Brisa, and therefore someone had the gears of the Tanya. In any event, it says over there, Kalim Shemilon, Kalim Vit Bilon. If you have a Kalim, like a Sal or Gagusni, that you fill up with other smaller Kalim, and you put it in the Mikvah, Sarei Elu Torin. It's all Tahorin. That's only, however, we'll see if the Sal and Gagusti themselves were Tomei and they required immersion in the mikvah. V'im lo tava, but if you didn't immerse it, now we'll see in a moment, this means if it didn't require an immersion, otherwise it doesn't make any sense because you were immersing. What do you mean if you didn't immerse it? V'im lo tava, mayim hamuravim, then the waters can't mix over here, and then the inner things inside the Sal and Gagusti, the other kale that you put in there, would not become tar. Now, Achi Muravin Kishoferes Hanod, unless there was an opening between the left side and the right side that was the size of the Shoferes Hanod, the two finger breasts, your pointer finger and your index finger, if you could turn around in that hole, it's big enough to have them turn, so then that's considered a big enough hole to connect the left side of it and the right side of it. If it's just a Sal and the Gagusni, they would normally not have such a hole, it would not be good, unless the Sal and Gagusni themselves were Tomei. So the Gemara says, I already explained this, the Gemara says, my kamar v'lo tov. What do you mean if you didn't immerse it? But you did immerse it. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's what it means. Hochi kamar. Bim eino tzarich lapil, if it didn't require an immersion, in other words, it was tar, and you just put it in like as a basket to go and hold the other utensils in it, so umayim hamuravim, so then the waters aren't really considered connected. Achyu muravim kishoferes hanod. Unless there is an opening between the left side and the right side that has the size of the shoferes hanod, then it would be a kosher immersion, otherwise it would not be a kosher immersion. So this concludes our discussion right now of Rava and Rabbi Law. But the Gemara now says, the Rava with Rabbi Law and Tanoi. This machlokas in Rava and Rabbi Law is actually a machlokas Tanoim as well. Where do we find this? The Tanya. We have the following brisa. It says, Sal v'gagusni shemilam kelim v'tpilon. If you filled up the sal and gagusni and you filled them up with utensils and you immersed them in the mikvah, so the Tana Kama says, Bein le Kodesh, Bein le Truma Torah, whether you're immersing it for the purpose of making Torah for Truma usage or for Kodesh purposes, Torah, it's a perfectly good immersion. This is exactly in accord with what Rava said, that the reason that we're not concerned about the Sal and Gagusni is because they have very large openings and never going to be smaller than Shofar said no. Now, Abishol disagrees. Abishol Omer, the truma, it's okay. Avolola kodesh. Such an immersion, putting utensils in a salad and a gagusni, is only good for truma, but not good for kodesh. Exactly like Rabbi Law said, because he's concerned about chatzitza, and therefore this is a chatzitza concern, even though it's a very large opening, and not a concern of shofaris hanod, but a concern of chatzitza. Where it says, okay, great, this is the machlokis in regards to kodesh. Ihachi, truma nami. Why are we not concerned about this for truma? Why is this only a concern for kodesh? Why shouldn't there be a concern of chatzitza, or because of the concern of Shofaris HaNo to be too small by Truma as well as by Kodesh. So Gemara says, Leman Kamrinan, Chaveirim. Who's asking us these questions? Only Chaveirim, people that are only concerned about Truma and Tara. Chaveirim made the Yadde, and the Chaveirim are going to know, and therefore, only for Truma is it not a concern, but by Kodeshim it is a concern. Gemara says, Yochi Kodesh Nami. So then, you're only Chaveirim asking the question by Kodeshim. So then, why is it a concern by Kodeshim? Either they're both Chaveirim, Truma and Kodeshim, or it should be a concern or should not be a concern. So Gemara says, no, because Kodeshim, Chazile, Amoritz, Ozil, Matbil. Amoritz is going to see you immersing this L'shem Taras Kodesh. He's going to say, ah, there is no concern over here with Taras Kodesh. And he's going to do the same thing, but he's going to do it when either it's going to be too small. He's saying, if you can do it in the Salam, the Gagusti, you can do it in something else, and you can immerse a Kli B'Soch Kli, and therefore he's not going to realize that there's a difference. So he says, okay, he's not going to realize the Kachim, why will he realize the Truma? Truma, Nami, Chazli Amoritz, Chazli Matba. The Amoritz, the concern, the Chashash would be that he'll see the same thing by Truma. Why by Truma are we not concerned that he'll see it, and by Kachim we are concerned that he'll see it? So the answer is, Lo Mekablin Aminei, because we don't accept Truma from an Amoritz. We assume that it's Tomei, and therefore we don't accept it from him. So Gemara says that in Kodesh Nami, Lo Nakbil Minei, so then also we're not going to accept it from him. So again, why would there be a distinction between Truma and Kachim? Gemara says, no, Havila Eva. If we don't accept the Kachim from the Amoritz, it's going to lead to hatred. It's going to lead to problems in Klai Yisrael. As we'll see in a moment, I'll explain more. And therefore, by Kachim, we're concerned that he'll see us immersing in a salat and a gagusni, and he won't realize that you have to only do it in a very large open vessel, and they won't realize that you can't immerse Kalim, Basol Kalim, in a smaller vessel, and he'll come to think that he's immersed in, and then he's going to bring it to us, and we're not going to accept it. That's going to lead to Eva. And this only applies by Kachim, it doesn't apply by Truma. Truma says, Truma Nami Havila Eva. Why by Truma as well? If we don't accept the Amoritz's Truma, so then it's going to cause hatred. Truma says, no. Loich Patla, the Amoritz is not going to say it's hatred. Okay, you don't want to hit my Truma? I'll give it to my Kohen. I'll give it to the Kohen Amoritz. The also Yovle, the Kohen Amoritz Chavrei. He's going to give it to his colleague, the Amoritz Kohen. So he says, okay, if the Chaveirim don't want to take my Truma, I'll give it to my Amoritz colleague. And therefore, he's not going to be upset. He says, great, don't take my Truma. I'll give it to somebody else. Not a problem. As opposed to by Kodeshim, by Kodesh, there we can't say, well, I'll give it to my friend, the Am HaAretz. There's only one Beis HaMikdash. So if we don't accept his stuff for Kodesh, he's going to go out and build a new Beis HaMikdash. He's going to make his own, or Chas HaShalom, worship of Avodah Zarah. He's going to go do something else with it. If we don't accept his Korbanos, if we don't accept his Kalim, so then we're going to have a lot of problems. So therefore, by Kachim, we have to make a Gezerah, don't immerse in a Salon or Gagusni, because the concern is that if the Am HaAretz sees this, he'll immerse other Kalim, Besolch Kalim, and it's going to lead to a problem by Kachim. By Truma, we don't have to make such a gzera because worse comes to worse. If the Am HaAretz sees us do this and he's not really tovah properly, if we don't accept his Truma, he'll give it to somebody else. It's not a problem. Give it to the Am HaAretz Kohen. Now the Gemara says, Uman Tana de Chayis Leiva. Is there really this opinion? Who do we know that is Choshesh for this Eva, that it will lead to the Am HaAretz hating us and we're concerned about that? We don't want that. This is the opinion of the Tana Rebbe Yossi. This is the Tana Rebbe Yossi. Now, where do we see that Rav Yossi holds? Like this, the Tanya, because we have a bright Amr Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, how come we believe everybody to say that their wine and shemen is tohar all year long, including even the Amoratzim, any yid that comes and said, here's tohar wine, here's tohar shemen for the Beis HaMikdash, why do we believe them? Kadesh lo yekolech v'yechad holech, bone bama liatzmo, v'soreif para aduma liatzmo. Because here, you can't say, well, I'll give the Truma to my Am HaAretz friend. Big deal, the Parush, if the Chover doesn't want to take my Truma. Here, if he brings his wine and his oil to the Beis HaMikdash, and they say, sorry, Charlie, we're not taking your wine and oil because we think it's Tomei. So he's going to say, what? You're not taking my oil and wine? Guess what? I'll build my own Mizbeach. I'll go sacrifice the God on a Bama. Now, you're not allowed to have a Bama. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, you're never allowed to have a Bama again. And during the time of Mishkan Shiloh, you're not allowed to have a Bama. And it's only during the time that the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon where you're allowed to have a private Bama. But what's the Am HaAretz going to do? If we don't accept his wine and oil, he's going to go bring it on a Bama. He's going to, Rachmon Litzam, build his own Beis HaMikdash. Vesar Paraduma Yatzim. He's going to have his own Paraduma because we're not going to trust him for his immersions and we're not going to trust him for the Hazor, the Shlishi and Shvi. He's going to say, I'll take care of it all myself if you don't want to trust me. So therefore, it would lead to a terrible Takol and Klai Yisrael. So we see that Rav Yossi is the one that's Choshish with his Eva. And furthermore, Amar Papa, Kiman Kablino Idnos Adusa Miamaritz, according to who do we accept testimony from an Amaritz? Technically, you shouldn't be able to accept testimony from an Amaritz. So who do we accept it according to this opinion? Do we accept it? Kiman? Ah, Kireb Yossi. This is the same thing, Reb Yossi, because of Ava. If we don't accept them in our courts, they're going to set up their own courts, and there's going to be all sorts of takolos, all sorts of incorrect miscarriages of justice that would occur. So it's much better that we accept their testimony in our courts. Again, Midaraisa, their wine, their shemen, their testimony is perfectly good. It's only xeros, the rabbanon, that would theoretically not have allowed it. So Mishum Ava, the rabbis weren't gozer in these situations. Now, it's not clear that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yossi in regards to the Yayin and the Shemen. It seems to be Machlokis and the other things, but it's not clear that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yossi, and maybe the Chachamim also hold that the Amoratzim are Nemonim on their Yayin and Shemen all year long. That's a Machlokis amongst the post. Okay, now the word says, why aren't we concerned over the Nechush L'Sheila if we allow immersion Kli B'Toch Kli in regards to Truma, and if the Amorat sees it, big deal, we're not accepting his truma, but we do borrow his utensils. So, v'nechush l'sheila, how come we're allowed to go borrow the utensils from the Am Haaretz? Maybe he immersed it kli b'soch kli, and it's not tar. The Tanan, because we learned the Mishnah Ne'edios, kli cheres matzil al hakol, that if you have an earthenware container, and it's sealed with a tzomid pasil, it's sealed with a tight closure, so then in that situation, that insides of that kli cheres are not going to become tame. So if you have foodstuffs or items inside there, another kli inside of there, it won't become tame, even though it's in the house where there's a tumas mace. Even though if it was open, it would be metame everything inside the kli cheres, since the kli cheres doesn't get tuma from the outside, it only gets tuma from the inside, and if the inside is sealed off with a tzomid pasil, then the insides of the kli cheres are protected from tumas hames. And this works in a number of ways. If it's in an ohel with tumas hames, so if it's sealed off, the insides are still tar, and the outside doesn't become tummy of a kli cheres, so the kli cheres is tar. And in a situation where you have a two-story house, and you have a skylight in between the bottom floor and the top floor, and if you had a mace in the bottom floor, so normally the tumah would go through the skylight and we would have all the things underneath the ohel of the second floor as well. But in this skylight, if you had a earthenware utensil there that blocked the tumas mace from going up to the second floor, so it would be essentially finishing off the ceiling of the bottom floor, so only the bottom floor was considered ohel and everything in the bottom floor would become tummy mace, but things in the top floor, the tumah would be blocked by this kli cheres that was filling in the space of the skylight, and therefore all the utensils, any food, anything in the top floor, any people in the top floor would not become tummy through tumas ohel. That's what this mishnah is going to tell us. If not, Kli cheres matzil al hakol divrei Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel tells us that a kli cheres is able to protect totally anything that is going to be both inside of it as well as the things in the top floor. When I said that the kli cheres is interposing between the bottom floor and the top floor, so therefore there's no tumas olah going through the kli cheres. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai omrim eino matzil. It's not able to be matzil elo al ochlin, on any food items in the top floor, v'al mashkim, any drinks on the top floor, v'al kli cheres, and any kli cheres that are in the top floor. Only those items will not become tameh. So food, drinks, and kli cheres on the top floor. But any kli matchis, any other types of utensils up there, metal utensils, for example, would become tameh. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. It only partially protects it, but it doesn't fully protect it. So this is very strange. Amar Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says Beis Shammai, mipnei ma? Why? Why is the kli cheres over here able to protect the foods and the beverages and the kli cheres, but it's not able to protect the kli matchis or other things that are up there? Mipnei ma? How come? So Amar Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai responds to them, mipnei shu tomei al gabi ama oretz, because the kli cheres that you're dealing with is tomei. This kli cheres that was interposing in the skylight between the bottom floor and the top floor is the kli cheres of an ama oretz. And the kli cheres of an am aretz was tamei, vein kli tamei chotzeis. And that din which we said, when you have a kli cheres in between the two floors, it's able to block and protect it, that's only if the kli cheres was tar. But this kli cheres had become tamei, however, in the past, through the inside, and therefore the kli cheres was tamei, and the kli cheres that's tamei is eno chotzeis. And that's why the top is going to become tame. So then, if it's tame, I'm going to be silly shamai. Be silly says to be shamai. Below tihartem ochlin umashkin shemisolcho. But you allowed any ochlin umashkin on the second floor or in this klicheres to be considered tar. And why is that? If the tumah goes through, said it should go through for everything. So I'm with Beishamai. So Beishamai responds to Beisilo, that which we said it was tar, kishi tarnu, the ochlin umashkin shibisocho, that which we said that the ochlin umashkin that are inside this are on the second floor, we only said it and we turned to Chabez of Adalah, we only said it, li atzmo tiharnu. For the Amma Aretz, we said it's tar. We're not going to eat this food anyway. A chaver doesn't eat the food from an Amma Aretz because he's not sure about its status of tumah and tara. So as top Rashi points out, who yochlein? The Amma Aretz is going to eat them. Shari Yachaver b'deglin lehen. Normally, a chaver, somebody who's zohir on tumah and tara, won't eat the Amma Aretz's food. Umimagon, or from touching them. Umilavochim acholu tameh, because he's always eating things that are tameh anyway. So therefore, we refrain from dealing with them with their food. So therefore, there's no problem if he were to go and eat it, and we tell him that it's tar, because he doesn't believe us anyway. He doesn't hold from our stringencies over here. He doesn't know all the dinim of tumah and tara. As we'll see in a moment in the Gemara later on, if we were to say that this is Tameh, it's going to lead to a lot of complications, and that it's going to make life very difficult for Chaverim if we're not able to borrow any of the utensils, and we'll see why this occurs in a few moments in the Gemara. In any event, the Gemara now says, however, Avo, Mitaris HaKli, if we were to declare his Kli Matris to go and be Tahar, that we don't do, because that would impact us, Shatara. So if we were to make his Kli Matris to be tar, that would impact Lecha, you, the Chaver, the person who's concerned about Tumah and Tara, and Lo, as well as the Amma Aretz himself. Now this will require explanation, which is what he's going to do after we read this Braisa. Tanya, we're learning the Braisa. Amar Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, Boshni mi divrecha beishamai. Rabbi Yeshua is basically bemoaning the fact that he disagrees with the din of Beishamai. He doesn't understand this din that we just learned right now. He doesn't understand it at all. And there is internally, it seems to be mutually contradictory. How can some things be tar and some things not be tar based upon the same principle of this Kli Cheres, either protecting or not protecting? So when Rabbi Yeshua heard this din of Beishamai, he says, I'm embarrassed. Boshti mi divrecha Beishamai. Now, ultimately, this was a harsh statement that he made about Beishamai, and he's going to do tshuva for this statement after he realizes the wisdom of Beishamai. So Rabbi Yeshua right now says, Boshti mi divrecha Beishamai. At this point, he says, I'm embarrassed about this din that was said in your name, Beishamai. Efshar isha lo shavai reva. Is it possible that a woman who is working on the second floor of this house that had the klicheris and the skylight in between them that would theoretically be blocking the tumah if it was tar, and therefore, since we're saying that it's not able to block it because it's tameh, is it possible that you have a woman on the second floor, Efshar isha lo shavai reva, she's kneading in a trough, this trough is not a klicheris, this trough is a kli matris, she's kneading in this metal trough, isha va'areva tveim shiva. Now the tumas meis goes up to the second floor, goes right through this tameh klicheris, it makes the woman tameh tumas meis, because she's in an ohel of the meis, it makes the areva, the metal utensil, tameh tumas meis, so the woman and the areva are requiring 7 days of tahara, hazor on shlishi shvi, and then immersion in a mikvah on day 7, and harav shemesh, it now is tar only after 7 days, the woman and the utensil are only tar after 7 days, but the dough that she's eating with, the food, ubatzik tar, doesn't make any sense. Likewise, the lugin mali mashkin are going to be the lugin or tameh tumas shiva umashkin tahorin. The same thing applies with the utensils, the containers that we have that have wine in them. So the utensils themselves, the containers with the wine, they're going to be tameh for 7 days because the tumah goes right through this tameh kli cheres and makes the kli matris containers of the wine, the metal utensils of the wine, the jug that the wine is being held in, tameh, but the wine itself is not tameh. So again, this is a paradox. He says, I don't understand. Yeshua says, I don't understand the opinion of Beishamai. How can you possibly say the woman, the metal areva, the metal jugs, they're all tameh, 7 days, requiring hazor, shlishu, shvi, going to be tovel, harav shemesh, and then they're only tar after that. And yet the food in the areva, the dough in the areva, and the wine in the wine bottle, they're all tar. Makes no sense. Rabbi Yeshua says, Boshni mi divrecha beishamai. However, mitma lo talmud echa mitami divrechamai. He meets up with one of the talmidim from beishamai, who heard that Rabbi Yeshua was unhappy about this opinion of beishamai, and he says to Rabbi Yeshua, omelok taimon shel beishamai. He was very humble, even though he was right, and he knew Rabbi Yeshua was wrong. He said, Rabbi, Can I please tell you the reasoning for Beis Shammai? Rav Shu, of course, wants to know Torah. Amalo, of course. He said, yes, Amalo, and more. Please tell me. Amalo. So the Talmud of Beis Shammai tells Rabbi Yeshua the reason why we say this strange ruling that the food and the beverages are Torah, but the metal utensils are not. Because Kli Tame, Chotzeitz, Oeno Chotzeitz, yes, Rabbi Yeshua, is a Kli Tame. What do you say? Is it able to prevent the tumor from going through it or not? So, of course, Rabbi Yeshua tells him, Amalo, Eino Chotzeitz. No, a Kli Tame is not Chotzeitz, only a Kli Torah is Chotzeitz. Oh, so now that you agree with me, the Talmud of Beis Shammai says to Rabbi Yeshua, Kli Shalam Aretz, Tame Yotar. Now he answers his next question. What is the normal status of a Kli of an Ama Aretz? Do we assume that it's Tame Yotar? So, Amalo, Tame. So he says we have to assume that the Kli Caleb of the Ama Aretz is Tame. Oh, now the Talmud has it. If you were to tell the Amorites that all of his Kalim are Tomei, now what do we mean all of his Kalim? The Kalim that cannot be immersed. A Kli Cheres cannot be immersed in a mikvah. Utah, the only way to make it tar is to break it. So if you tell the Amorites that all of his Kli Cheres are now, he has to throw them away. All of his utensils are worthless. They're Tomei, and he has to throw them away. What is he going to tell you? He's not going to listen to you say, what are you talking about? My Kalim are tar. Furthermore, he's going to tell you, Elo Shavata Omer Lo Tame. The Amar is going to say, if you tell me that all of my Kli Cheres are Tame, so I'm going to tell you, Omer Lecha, Shali Tari Shalcha Tame. No, mine are Tari and yours are Tame. What's going to happen, therefore? That's going to cause a lot of trouble. So therefore, the Talmud of Beis Shammai tells Rabbi Yoshua, Zeho Taimun Shal Beis Shammai. This is what Beis Shammai is worried about over here. If you go tell the Amoret that his Kli Cheres is Tomei now, and that his food and his utensils are Tomei, he's going to not believe you in anything. And he's going to say, your stuff is Tomei and my stuff is Tar. But if you tell him, oh no, your food is good. And if you tell him, oh, your liquids are good, so he's not going to be upset. If you tell him his Kli Cheres is good, he's not going to be upset because he's not losing anything. If you tell him his Kli Matris is Tomei, he'll say, okay, I'll immerse it in the mikvah. Not a big deal. It has a easily correctable answer to his problem. So therefore, in this situation, since we don't borrow the Kli Cheres of an Ama Aretz, but we do borrow the Kli Matris of an Ama Aretz, because the Kli Cheres we have to assume is Tomei, but the Kli Matris we can be Mitar. So in order to facilitate, as we'll see, the Gemara will tell us, borrowing for a Chaver from an Ama Aretz, so in this situation, it will make the life of the Chaver that much easier. So we tell the Ama Aretz in this case of the Kli Cheres Tomei blocking it, that your Kli Cheres is fine and your food and liquids are fine, because it won't lead then for to the Ama Aretz not immersing his Kli Matris, and therefore we'll be able to borrow Kli Matris from an Ama Aretz, and that's the whole purpose of this takana. When Yeshua heard this, Miyad, Holach Rabbi Yeshua, Nishtatach Al Kivri Beis Shammai. When Yeshua saw the wisdom of Beis Shammai, and immediately he runs to the cemetery where the Beis Shammai are buried. And he says over there in the cemetery, Omar, he says, Nanesi lechem atzos Beis Shammai, I was wrong. I spoke incorrectly about you. I was too harsh on you. I apologize to you. You were right and I was wrong. Umastumo shelechem kach, the things that are hidden. There's such wisdom over here, the things that are wisdom. Before Rosh Hashanah Chamav Kama, so the things that are clear to everybody, wow, how much more impressive are all of your opinions, Beis Shammai. Amru, they said about Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, call Yomov, all of his life. Hushkro Shinov Nibnei Tani Yosef. He fasted and fasted and fasted for the way he talked about Beis Shammai. He realized he was incorrect to say Boshni Lachamid Divri Beis Shammai, that he was using such a terminology that wasn't proper in his respect for Beis Shammai. So he fasted and his teeth became dark because of all the fasting that he did to make up, so to say, to Beis Shammai for not treating them with the proper respect. Okay, now that we know this brisa, we've explained a lot of the background for it, now we can say, Tani, when we had answered before, Beis Shammai told Beis Hillel, the reason why we have this dichotomy here and say that the food and the liquids and the Kli Cheres are tar, but the Kli Matris are Tomei, that was a benefit. Tani Mias, we said over there, Lecha, it's good for the Chaver, and it's also good for the Amor, it's Velo. So now, what do we mean by that? Amor, what do we see? Shailina Minayim. The reason why we said it's good is because this way, the Chaver can go borrow the Kli Matris from the Ama Aretz. So what do we see? That we do borrow for them. Now we get back to our question before. So how come we're allowed to go and immerse a Kli B'toch Kli? The Ama Aretz is going to see us and he's not going to know that it's only because there's a large space, and when it's a small space, he's going to immerse his Kalim inside other Kalim. He's going to think it's Tar and he's going to lend it to the Chaver, and the Chaver is going to use a Kli Tameh without realizing it. That's the question that we now have. How come we don't make the gzeira also kli b'toch kli, not only by kodesh, but also by truma? So the answer is no. Ki shailina minayu. Because if a chaver is borrowing a utensil, a kli matlis from an am haaretz, mat b'lidin lu, he's going to immerse it. So therefore, there's no problem. He's going to be toggle it. Mar says, Yachi, that if that's the case, nihadru lu beisilu le beishamai, ki shailina minayu, mat b'lidin lu. So then why didn't beisilu respond to beishamai and say this? If that's indeed the case, then they should have said so. In other words, why did beishamai respond and say that it's a benefit, l'cha, v'lo, so what's the benefit? You have to immerse it anyway. So Mor says, no, the benefit is, tome meis by hazo shlishi ushvi, umono l'shiva yome, l'moshli inshe. No, the benefit is, because if we were to say that it was tome meis, so then, it would have to go and have hazo on shlishi ushvi, and then have immersion of the mikvah on day 7, and then have shemesh, and then only you could use it. And people don't borrow kalim for a week. Somebody says, can I borrow your pot this afternoon? Can I borrow your item this afternoon? They don't borrow it for a week. So therefore, this is a big benefit that they can go and borrow it and just have to immerse it. They don't have to be concerned about tumas shiva. Because the Am Haaretz says, okay, if you tell me that it's tameh, we said only the kli cheres we say is tar, so we tell them the Am Haaretz that the kli matlis is tameh shiva, so then, okay, he'll immerse it only after he does azor and shlishi shvi. And therefore, when you give it to the chaver, when he borrows the keli from the amaretz, he only has to do the tefillah. So the more questions, va'tefillah lo behemne, do we not believe that the amaretz that he immersed it? Why do we have to immerse it again? Well, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, then moninam ya'aretz altaris tefillahs tamim meis. Do we do believe the amaretz that he was tovel after it was tamim tumas meis, and he was tovel it properly? That's what the Braisa says. So why do we make you immerse it again? So abaye lo kashina, depends. Ha-be-gufo, that's what we say, that we believe the Amoritz on the Tefillah, that's only referring to his own body. The Amoritz is believed to say, yes, I went to the mikveh after I had the Azor Shlish Yushvi, so we believe him for that. However, Ha-be-kela, by his Kli Marcus, we don't believe him. And therefore, we have to go and do the immersion again. Rava gives a different teretz. Rava Amar, Idi be-kela. No, in fact, we're talking about sometimes we believe him, sometimes we don't believe him, and we're both referring to Kela. So then, why is it not a stira? When it says lokash, it's not a stira. If the Amoret says, I never ever go and immerse a kli inside another kli, so therefore we believe him. However, if he says, oh, I do sometimes go immerse kalim inside other kalim, then we don't believe him. So it all depends on what the Amoret says. If he says, I never immerse kalim inside kalim, so there is no chashash. But if he says, oh yes, I sometimes do immerse kelim inside other kelim, but I'll never do it unless there's a shoferis anod, then we have to be concerned. And Vatanya, Rashi says, b'nichusa, I'll show you that this is right from the following braisa. The braisa says, b'feirish, neman amaretz lomar peros lohuk shru. And amaretz is believed to say that my fruit never got wet, it's not mukshal akabal tumma, and therefore we believe him to say that it's not tome. However, we do not believe the Amoritz of Aleno Omer, Aino Nemon Lomar, Peres Hulshiro, that my fruits, in fact, were Mokshul Kavodoma, but I was careful not to let them come to me. I have a low nipu. That we don't believe him, because he's not Zahir. He's not familiar enough with those dinim. To say that it definitely didn't get wet, that we believe him. So we can believe the Amoritz in some things, but not believe the Amoritz in other things, and that's exactly what happens over here. If he says, I never was Tovel, a kli b'toch kli, so then we believe him. But if he says, I was Tovel, a kli b'toch kli, but I'd be careful to make sure it has the size of Shaferis, I know that we can't believe him. Now the Gemara says, v'agufo mi mehemen. Wait a second, you said that we believe that Yamaret was Tovel himself for the Tumas Shiva at the end of the 7-day period of time. We believe that he was Tovel himself. Is that really true? Vatanya, we learned in another braisa where it says chaver shebo lahazos. If a chaver comes to say, I was tamei tumas meis and I need the paraduma to be sprinkled on me, the mei paraduma to be sprinkled on me on day 3 and day 7, mazel miyat, we believe him, and we say, okay, if you're saying today's day 3, you were tamei tumas meis a few days ago, and now it's day 3, so we go and sprinkle the mei paraduma on him. If he says it's day 7, I need my day 7 sprinkle, we sprinkle on him. So for a chaver, a person who's zari in Tumah Taira, mazel lo miyad, we sprinkle on him right away. Ama Aritz Shabala Hasos. But if an Ama Aritz comes and says, I was Tomei Tumas Meis, so we make him count in front of us, today's day one, tomorrow's day two, the next day, come back and we'll sprinkle on you. Ein Meizin, Olav Achiyase, Befonenu Shlishi Yushvi. We make him wait the 3 days and the 7 days in front of us. We don't assume that he counted correctly. So how are you telling me that the Ama Aritz is believed to say he was Tovel in the Mikvah after his Tumah of Tumas Meis? We don't even believe him to say that when he was Tomei. So Elo Amarbaye. So Abaye explains as follows. Somewhere it goes to the word Elo Amarbaye mitoch chomer shechmart olav b'tchilasa, because you were so strict with him at the beginning by not saying that you are tomei day three, that we say no, you have to count the 3 days in front of us. So therefore, you can be makel at the end. He count olav b'sofo to believe to say that he immersed himself. So the stringency that we have at the beginning allows a kula at the end. As Rashi says, Kishabal for Nechalazo Sov Lo Amanto, when he came to us to be sprinkled on day 3 and day 7, we didn't believe him. So therefore, he called to love himself, therefore we can be makel at the end, La Mino Ala Tvila, to believe him that he said he went to the Mikvah, Lafishu Nizar Betvilaso, Shalayin Starich Lo, because he says, oh no, if I'm not careful about this, they're going to go and make me do the whole process over again. So he's very zoris, he's very careful not to make any mistakes. So therefore, the Chumrah that we had at the beginning, that allows us to be makel towards him, to believe him at the end. And that concludes this very complicated but beautiful sugya of the Kli B'toch Kli. Now we get to the second case in the Mishnah. We spent a lot of time discussing the first case in the Mishnah as to why one goes there for Kodesh, but not goes there for Truma. So the second case in the Mishnah was, we said, that normally Midoraisa, if you have separate sections of a kli. So when you're mitami something, you only mitami that section. So in Midr Rabbanan, we said that we treat the entire kli as one entity, even though there's separate components to it, and the acharayim and the toch and the base tseva or the tzvi saso, that area is all considered one kli, but only in regards to kodesh, but not in regards to truma. So now we quote the Mishnah acharayim v'toch. We said in that situation that we treat it all as one Tumah, even though you only with Tomei part of it, Midoraisa, only that part would be Tomei, but we're here, Midorabanan for Kodesh, we say the whole thing is Tomei, but not for Truma. So Gemara asks, Ma'ay Acharayim V'toch, what exactly is this? Din K'didnam, we learned in the Mishnah in Kalim, tells us, Kli Shenit Ma'achorah B'ma'ashkin, if, this is all Midorabanan, if the outside of the Kli became Tomei, this is not talking about Kli Cheres, Kli Cheres is not Matami on the outside, it's talking about a Kli Machas, a metal utensil. So you have a jug, and you're matami it with water, which is midi rabbanon, a rishon, and it's matami it like a sheni. So the kli now is tomei on the outside. Kli shenit ma'achorav b'mashkin. So achorav tomei tocho. The inside, however, only the outside is tomei, but the inside tocho ogno is like its rim, the top part. Ozno is the handle, like the ear, the handle that you're holding with. The yodav, another type of a handle on the kli tarin. All the other parts of the kli are tar. Midrabanan, they're only the part that became in contact with the water. The outside part is only Tomei Midrabanan. However, Nitma Tocho, if the inside becomes Tomei, then Kulo Tomei, then the entire Kli, the inside, not only the inside, but the outside, the Ogen, the Ozen, the Yodov, they're all going to be Tomei in this situation. So here you clearly see that this din is applicable only to Truma. That's what the Mishnah tells us, and therefore, the regular din applies by Truma, and the Chazal instituted an additional stringency in regards to Kodesh. Now, the Mishnah continues and explains, we said the Acharai V'toch and the Beis HaTzvita V'chulei. What exactly is the Beis HaTzvita? So I explained this in the Mishnah, this is where I got it from. My Beis HaTzvita, Amr Behuda, Amr Shmuel, Rehuda said the name of Shmuel, Makom Shetzovto. This is the place by which you give it over to another person. Where we see this Lashon of Tzovto means to hand it over. V'cheinu Omer, as we have in Megillas Rus, by Yitzbot law Koli, and Boaz handed her Koli, he handed her parched kernel. So we see the Lashon of Yitzbot is the way he handed over. So therefore, this Beis Tzvita is the place where you hand it over. Alternatively, Rav Asya, Rav Yochanan tells us, it's Mokum Shiniki Hadas Tzovin. This is the place where people that are very fussy, the people that are an istanis, people that are very careful about their hygiene, so they don't want to put things inside the place we're going to drink from. Other people would put all sorts of stuff in there and use it as a dip for all various types of condiments, and then when we're done with the dipping, they would pour drink into it. It would have a little bit of the residual of the condiment, and it didn't bother them. But people that are very fussy, so they wouldn't put it there. So they would have a separate area on the utensil called a base at Svita. And that's, according to Rav Asya and Rav Yochanan, this is that separate area. The Aruch brings down that this is a place where you would turn the cup so another person would drink from the same cup as you. You wouldn't want to drink right where your saliva had touched the cup, so you would turn the cup around into another place. So the base hatzvita is the handle part area that it would turn the cup around and the other person would drink from another place. Okay. Then we learn the following braisa. So Tani Rabbi became the Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi learned from the Rabbi Nachman the following. Kala kelim in lehem acharayim v'toch. We don't make a distinction between the different parts of a keli. We say, if you touch part of it, the entire keli is tamei. Echot kot she'a mikdosh v'echot kot she'a gvul. This is true for utensils of the Beis HaMikdosh, and this is also true for utensils that are kodesh in the gvul, in the borders, in Eretz Yisrael, outside the Beis HaMikdosh. So that's what Rabbi said in front of Rabbi Nachman. So Amalei Rabbi Nachman says, Rabbi, kot she'a gvul, my ninu. What exactly are the kot she'a gvul? The kot she'a mizbeach, we understand, those are the keli of the Beis HaMikdosh. But the kochei gvul, what is that? If you're telling me it's truma, but not. But we learned in our mishnah, acharayim betochu beis hatzvita l'truma, and they're all separate in regards to truma, not for kodesh. So kochei gvul can't be talking about truma. We sometimes refer to truma as kodesh. So it can't be here that what we're referring to echod kochei means mikdash echod kochei gvul, because this doesn't apply to truma. So what is it then? What are Kochei Hagvul? So Dilma said, oh, mustn't it be Lechulin Shenatzol Tarasa Kodesh? Mustn't it be talking about over here, Rav Nachman says to Rav Bibi, that it's talking about Chulin utensils, but they were prepared Al Tarasa Kodesh. That is what Ka'amris, that's what you're telling us. And when he said this, oh, At Karta, now you reminded us of Milsud Yomar Abba Baravua. You remind us of what we learned earlier in the Shia, and in yesterday's Shia, that which Abba Baravua said, Achas Esrei Malo Shanu Kan, that there are 11 scenarios or standards in the Mishnah. Sheish, we've shown us the first six. This goes according to Rabba, that the first six are considered separate ones. One and six are separate, the kli b'toch kli and the garment with all the ties in it. So those are two separate reasons, as we said. Sheish Rishonos, they apply bein the kodesh, bein the chulin shenasu ataras kodesh. The din there because of drora doraisa that we said in yesterday's shir. So that applies to both kodesh as well as the chulin shenasu ataras kodesh. Ah, that's exactly this din. That's what the kodesh hagvul are. And Achronos, the last five, 7 through 11, they only apply for Kodesh. Avalo l'chulin shenasu taras kodesh, but not for that. So therefore, this is exactly in accord with that statement. Now we go to the third case in the Mishnah. Hanosias and Medris, Nosias and Truma. We said that if you're carrying Medris in one hand, so then you'd be allowed to carry Truma in the other hand. However, Avalo es HaKodesh, where we were stringent and didn't allow us by Kodesh. Why not? Kodesh by time alone. Why should it be different than Kodesh and Trum over here? So that's a Maisa Shoya. Mishu Maisa Shoya. What was the Maisa Shoya? Domer Yudah Mershvuo. Maisa Viechel Shoya Ma'avir Chavish Oyayin Kodesh Mimokom Lamokom. A person once, from Yudah Mershvuo said, was carrying a barrel of wine in his hand and he was taking it from Mokom Lamokom, from one place to another place. Returned to Chav Gimorim and Aleph. And what happened? He was wearing a shoe, the Nifsuka Ritsua Shal Sandolo. And the strap, the Ritsua, on his sandal came off. What did he do? Unatala, he put it on top of the barrel, v'nicha al pi achavis, and it fell in. V'nofla li aver achavis, and this was a medris, v'nitmes, and it contaminated, it was metame, everything inside this barrel. The osu shamu, therefore the rabbi said, don't do this, hanosi as a medris, nosi as a truma, avalo as a kodesh, because of this, my shashari was with kodesh, so therefore the rabbi said, don't allow this to Kodesh. This is a stringency based upon a Maisa Shaya. The Maisa Shaya was with Kodesh, it wasn't with Truma, and therefore they were only Gozer it on Kodesh, and they weren't Gozer it on Truma. Therefore, if you carry Medrash in one hand, you can carry Truma, but you can't carry Kodesh. Where it says, Ihochi Truma Nami. So then, wait a second, just because this incident occurred with Kodesh, so then we should make the same concern with Truma. Why not? So the Gemara says, Homani, this is going in accord with the opinion of who? Rabbi Hananya ben Akavyahi. This is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavyahi. Because he holds the Omar, Lo Asu, Ela Beyardein Ubisfina. Because there was a Maisa Shahaya once that they were carrying the Mechatos on a boat going across the Yardein, Uke Maisa Shahaya. And what happened there, it became Tomei, which we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's year exactly what the scenario was. And therefore, Uba Maisa Shahaya was only what they were gozerin in, and they weren't gozerin on anything else. What exactly, Mahi, what is this Maisa Shahaya? Mitzvah Shem, we'll say for tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's year.